see your beautiful face again. I called that last song for a reason. Hark, the herald angels. So the title of the sermon this morning is Hark, the Angels Herald. Do y'all know what hark means? Or hark, hearken. It means to take notice of, pay attention, to be concerned about, to perceive, to understand. Now, what's an angel? An angel is a messenger from God, and an angel attends to discharge whatever duty God has given them. And not only to discharge the duty that God gave them, but also to tell men and to inform them what their purpose is. So the angels carry out God's purposes in many cases. And our job, and I just want to throw this in, our job is not to worship angels, because that'd be like worshiping, let's say you won the Publisher's Clearinghouse and the people came out, you know, to give you the check. You'd fall down and worship the people that gave you the check. No, you'd be happy for the people who actually wrote the check, right? It's not, I tell people every day when I'm out running the maps and doing my property assessing, they get mad at their taxes, and sometimes they get mad at me, and sometimes they say, I know you're just a grunt man, and I don't need to get mad at you. So, we need to worship the one true and living God who sent the messenger. Not to worship or even get mad at the messenger. Because he's not the one that wrote the message, he's the one that delivered the message. Now, so our job is to be attentive to and hearken or perceive, understand, and believe what the angel said. The Bible speaks of us entertaining angels unawares. I'm sure there have been some people, and I know there have been, we're going to talk about a few of them, that have actually seen angels and did not necessarily know when they saw them that they were of God. But when they got finished with their delivery of the message, they understood then that they were a messenger from God. So our job is to believe the message and to be attentive to and obey whatever message that is. But we got to be careful, because some, you know, it says even Satan is transformed into an angel of light. So there are some deceivers out there. That's why you got to try the spirits. Now, that's enough on the caveat. So, do y'all remember, and the Bible speaks of angels many, many times, not only in the Old Testament, but in the New. You remember at this time of year, it's on everybody's mind, isn't it? The birth of Jesus Christ. But there's some things that happened before his birth. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1. I'd love to be able to read all of this. And I might take time to read some of it. So there was a man named Zacharias, and he was a priest in the temple, and he was married to his wife, whose name was Elizabeth. And they were old, and she was barren, and they had no children. And Zacharias went in to do the for him in verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. You know, those priests had certain jobs that they did on certain days and certain times of the day, and he was doing what he should have been doing. He was, and some of us think that we get in the grind. We get in the daily routine of things a lot of times. And sometimes we think that's mundane. And it is a lot of times. But God called us to do a lot of things on a daily basis that we don't need to neglect just because it's a grind. Or just because it's mundane. And so this man Zacharias was doing his priestly duties like he did according to his course as scheduled. And his lot was to burn incense, and when he went into the temple of the Lord, everybody, the whole multitude, was outside praying at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. What an amazing thing. You're going through your daily grind and something special happens. Y'all ever found that to be so? And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. You know, most of the time when people see messengers of God, it troubles them. Not necessarily always in a bad sense. And fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not." You know, a lot of times that's the first thing that the angel says. I think that angels are fierce looking to us, but they're glorious looking to God. "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he," talking about John the Baptist, "for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." You remember when later on Mary came to meet Elizabeth, and remember, he leaped for joy in his mother's womb. Y'all have heard preachers say, and you'll hear me say it more than once, that John the Baptist was born of God, was born of the Spirit, before he was born of a woman. That gives me a lot of hope. How about you? For those unborn children that are aborted by the wickedness of men. Now, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." You know, he made the prepared ready. He didn't make the ready prepared. Y'all got that? Word order means things in the Scripture. Now, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. You know what happens next? And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. You know, he questioned the authenticity these glad tidings. He questioned the angel. He says, look, I'm an old man. This ain't going to happen. You see the attitude that he had. And the angel said, look, I'm going to strike you with dumbness, meaning not able to speak. Dumb back then didn't mean dumb like we use it today. Now, so through these 9 months, and then comes time, this is amazing. So he comes out of the temple, and Zacharias, and he couldn't speak, and his countenance was, he was motioning to them, and they thought, he's seen something special. And when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And after those days, Elizabeth conceived, and all that. Now, at the time of the birth of John the Baptist, all the people came. You know, having a child was a big deal back then. You know, especially, because every male child that was born, every time, it was so special for women to be born, to have children, because every little Jew girl, every little Israelite girl thought that she might be the one to carry the Messiah. And it was important to them. That was their dream. You know how every little girl dreams to grow up and marry, you know, Ken like Barbie did. Right? Every little dream of every little girl was that she might be the one to carry the Messiah. And so having children was of utmost importance in that culture. Now, the tradition was that every child that was named was named after their father, especially the firstborn. And so they're all there, and she's has given birth, and of course it's a big deal, and everybody comes, and they started calling the baby Zechariah after her father. And you know, after his father. And you know, Zechariah hadn't talked these whole 9 months. And Elizabeth said, no, his name's John. And they said, what? Nobody in your family's named John. And Zechariah called for a writing tablet, a slate. And he brought it in. You know what Zechariah wrote? Said his name is John. I should have listened to the angel the first time, and I'd have been able to speak all these 9 months. But he didn't listen to the angel. He questioned the angel, and when it come time, he said, his name is John, and so they called him John. And immediately his mouth opened, and he gave prophecy about this man, John. He gave prophecy that he was going to... how he was going to make ready of people prepared for the Lord. Now, then let's keep reading in verse 20. Let's start in 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, the same one that went to Zechariah, angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. You remember the messages from the messengers, the messages of God from the messengers will trouble you. Whether it's me or any other God-called minister or an angel that attends to God, it's going to trouble you a lot of times. And she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation or greeting this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. There it is again. Fear not. For thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. I want you to think about that phrase, he shall be great. How great will Jesus be? How great will his work be? How great will his example be? How great will the effect of what he did be? People all over the world know who Jesus Christ is. At least they know of him. Some of them love him, some of them hate him, but he is great. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Y'all don't read over that. David is called his father. The angel called David his father. Jesus Christ had every right to sit on the throne of David. He had every right as the Messiah. Not only because God said he was, but he's both the root and the offspring of David. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That's amazing, isn't it? How that he's an offspring of David, but he was before David was. Y'all get that? That's amazing. Now, he keeps going and he says, And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. That's not just Judah. That's the house of Jacob over the father of Judah. That's all of them. Now, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. I love that, don't you? Don't you love that his kingship is forever? And his kingdom that he rules over is forever. And did you know he's not waiting to reign as king in his kingdom? You know, we spent many weeks talking about the kingdom of God, and it's an everlasting kingdom because there's an everlasting king. Y'all got it? I love that. I'm glad that we don't have to worry about some other administration. You know, we have to worry about another administration. Sometimes we worry about the present one in our political system. And every 4 years we get another one. Or the same. We elect the same one. And we wonder because things are uncertain about what's going to happen with the next ruler. My friends, we never have to be uncertain about the next ruler in God's kingdom because there is no other ruler other than God. He's the everlasting King in His everlasting kingdom. Then said Mary, listen to this. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now she questioned, just like Zechariah did, but from a different aspect. She had a valid question. It never heard. I mean, Zechariah asked the question, how is this going to be since I'm old? Hey, he's a priest. Zacharias was a priest. He ought to have known about Abraham and Sarah. He ought to have known about how Elijah could cause an old woman to have a child who was barren. God's in the habit of doing that, you know. He's got a history with that. But never in history had it been known of, and not only known, but never in history had it happened that a virgin conceived without knowing a man. She had a valid question. He didn't make her dumb for 9 months, did he? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, y'all don't forget that, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Not only is He Son of Man, but He's the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Listen to what Mary replied to the angel. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Do you see her attitude? Basically, what Mary said was, amen. So be it. Let it be according to the word of the Lord. I am just a handmaid in your purpose. My friends, we ought to have that same attitude every day as we walk through this life. Lord, I am here as your handmaid or matron. I don't know what you call them. Manservant, maidservant. I'm just here as your servant. Just however you want to do it, just let me understand what it is that you'd have me to do and give me the courage and the grace to do it. Now, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now this put Mary in a very awkward position, didn't it? You know what kind of scandal it would be for a young girl? You know what kind of scandal it is even today when there are girls that become pregnant that aren't married. It's still scandalous. It's less scandalous now than it used to be. Certainly way more less scandalous than it was in this culture. So scandalous that this Mary, according to the law, would have been stoned and put to death. That's how scandalous it used to be. And now in our culture, what used to be scandalous is celebrated. It's not only celebrated, but it's promoted. Did y'all know that single mothers have more tax breaks than married folk? Think about it. It's more financially beneficial for someone to have a child out of wedlock than it is in our culture. In this culture, it was a death sentence. She was espoused to a man, and she's gone to see Elizabeth for however long. And then she comes back, and she's grown. And it's evident that she's with child. Imagine Joseph's surprise as he comes and sees her when she comes back from her trip. What you been doing while you were gone? And so we pick it up now in Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. That means she was promised to him, and in all effects, they were married. And yet they had not come together. It's almost like, you know how when little boys and little girls get, you know, they love each other and they give promise rings, you know? It's like, I'm marrying you. Or are they giving engagement rings? It's like, you're my wife and we've set a date. That's kind of what it's like, only this was more binding than that. His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Y'all don't skip over these little words that describe people. He's being a just man. Some people think to be just that you have to follow the law to a jot and a tittle perfectly to execute whatever judgments the law has. Joseph wasn't that kind of just. Joseph wasn't the kind of just that a lot of us think. I'm going to get you, they're going to get what they got coming to them, and I'm going to be the one to do it. Joseph wasn't that kind of just. He loved her. He still loved her. And he was a just man. And he was not willing that she would be put away by ending her life in stoning. But he wanted to put her away privately. That's privily is what the Bible word for it. But he didn't want to make a big scene about it. He didn't want it to be some public spectacle. He wanted her to be able to live her life, have that child. He didn't know whose child it was at this point. But he still didn't want to put her away. But he was minded to put her away privily or secretly. But while he thought on these things, I imagine he had a lot to think about, don't you? Behold, just think about it. The evidence of betrayal that kind of betrayal is so strong. Can you imagine? That kind of betrayal would not be something that you could really live with peaceably. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Betrayal is a hard thing to get over. It'd take the grace of God to do it. It'd take the grace of God to get over some kind of betrayal like this. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. He didn't say, don't fear to take Mary for thy wife, or to be thy wife. She was already his wife. He said, you just don't be afraid to take her. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Don't you worry about it, Joseph. She didn't have an infidelity issue with you. This is a bigger play on a bigger stage than you ever realized, Joseph. This is happening, and it's not anything that she did. There was no betrayal on her part. Don't be afraid to take her into thy house and to be as thy wife. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord, by the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He was obedient to what... And you know what? When the angel and the messenger of the Lord tells you something and you rest in it, and it can make the fear go away. It'll make the trouble go away. And peace replace the trouble. Now, this is the angel was citing the prophet Isaiah in chapter 9, and I'm going to start in verse 5. This is the prophecy of Jesus Christ, one of them. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise. You know, back then when they had wars, it wasn't with drones on joysticks dropping bombs. It was hand-to-hand combat. It wasn't snipers shooting people from a mile away. It was you with a physical struggle with your enemy with a sword. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful. I want to stop for a minute and talk about the government being on his shoulder. What is the government? It means the governor, or the one who has the oversight of the governing. Do y'all see how the everlasting king reigns on the everlasting throne in his everlasting kingdom? And the government is not upon my shoulder, it's not upon your shoulder, it's upon his shoulder, because he's the only one that can bear that kind of administration. We can't bear that kind of administration. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can. And Isaiah says, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Oh, I'd love to go through all these. Wonderful Counselor. You know what a counselor is? It's a paraclete. It really means an advocate to plead your case with you to the judge. Amen? He's our counselor. He's the one that is going to stand up and declare you, and he already has declared you to be just in the eyes of a holy God. He's our counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Y'all get that? He's the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. You know, you could pass judgment and that judgment not be just. It happens every day, doesn't it? But this, he's going to establish his kingdom with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. Listen to this. The zeal, that means the fervency of action. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. Not my zeal, not your zeal, not the zeal of somebody if you let him. My friends, this is talking about the zeal of God, the Lord of hosts. Now, let's fast forward back over here and get back to our time. That was where the angel that spoke to Mary, that was where he was quoting from. Let's go talk about the shepherds for a minute. Luke chapter 2. You know, there's very little said about the birth of Jesus Christ. But there are some great things. So we know about the tax, which starting in chapter 2, we know about the tax, a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and so they went to their own city. Well, Joseph was in Galilee, but that's not where he was from. He went to Bethlehem because that's where his family was from. And that's where they pretty much took a census. And when you paid the taxes, that's how they took the censuses. Because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Hannah's pregnant now. She's way on up. She's great with child. And that's pretty close. About, you know, Mary was great with child, meaning the contractions could start any minute. And you know, when they're traveling, they were either in, can you imagine being 8 or 9 months pregnant, riding in a wagon, or riding on a colt, a donkey, or walking? You know, that's what they let pregnant women do in the ER. I mean, in the labor and delivery, when they're having trouble, they get them up to walk, don't they, to hurry things along? They were on a long journey to get to Nazareth. weren't they? And so it was while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, do y'all know that shepherds are on the bottom rung of the social ladder? Y'all understand that? It'd be like having a job as a shepherd would be equivalent to us having a job, and this is not a dig, have a job like a garbage man. Okay? They're extremely needful, but it's a job that really nobody wanted. It wasn't affluent. You didn't make a bunch of money. They were poor people. And they were out. I want you to notice, it says they weren't sleeping. They were watching over their flocks by night. It's nighttime. They were, and I'm sure it was pretty chilly out there at that time of year. And they were watching over their flocks by night. And lo, in verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I don't know what an angel looks like. I think that I've entertained some unawares, but I haven't seen this kind of angel, I don't think. I think I'd remember it if I had. I think I've been on the receiving end of blessings from angels in the past, but I didn't see their face. They saw this angel, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you..." Listen to this. He didn't say unto Mary. He said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." This angel is heralding his arrival, just like he was heralding the arrival to Joseph and to Mary, and heralding the arrival of John the Baptist to Zechariah. He's a herald, he's a messenger, and he's giving this message to these shepherds that says, the Christ is born, and he's laid, you'll find him laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. You'll find him down there, lying in a manger. And suddenly, listen to this. This is amazing. Now, if one angel would make you fear, I wonder what a multitude of heavenly hosts would do. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, not singing, saying, "Glory to God in the highest." You know, when we sing praises to God, and when we are filled with the Spirit, and you hear messages of God, and you can feel like you're almost there, that this is a word from heaven, imagine what it would be like for those angels who always behold the face of God together in unison, say glory to God in the highest, and what that would be like. Imagine that. These heavenly beings, these created attendants to God, are giving praises up in along with this terrible angel who's just given you this great news that the Messiah is here. I can't imagine, but I think sometimes it might be like Elisha. Maybe it was Elijah. I can't remember. I think it was Elijah. His servant and the king Amalek was down there, and they surrounded him, and they were there, and the servant came in and said, "Master, what are we going to do? They're all here. We're surrounded by the enemy." And then he says, "Son, don't you worry about it. Fear not." He said, "There are more folks with us than there is with them." And the servant said, "You crazy old man, what are you talking about? We're surrounded by the enemy. How could you say that?" And he says, "Oh, Lord, open his eyes that he might see." And he opened his eyes, and he saw chariots of fire in the sky. They were always there. They were always there. He just couldn't see them. My friends, the Lord opened the eyes of these shepherds and appeared to them that there is another realm, and it's real. Spiritual reality made its presence known to these shepherds in their worldly reality on this night. You know, most of us go by just day to day. We do our mundane things, and we don't realize that there are things happening in the heavens that we can't see and that we don't know. God opened a window of heaven for these shepherds and told them great tidings of great joy. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. You know, every Miss America beauty contestant pageant, when they ask what their greatest wish is, and they say world peace. Don't they? It's kind of a given. If you don't say that, then you'll get demoted. World peace. World peace. My friends, there will be no peace on earth. There cannot be, because sinners are on earth. My friends, what the angels were saying to these shepherds here, that finally, on earth, there is peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Y'all got it? There hasn't been peace on earth since the fall of Adam. And there will be no peace on earth between sinners on earth until the Lord comes back and declares the last days over. My friends, but this day, peace had finally come to earth. You know what? He made peace. He made peace by reconciling sinners to Himself on the cross. And it came to, and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go now, even to Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste. You know what? They weren't moseying along down there to the manger. They were running to see the Messiah. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad their saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that they heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So the shepherds told them what happened to them while they were watching their flocks by night, and they were wondering. You know, a lot of people told them things. Imagine that. The angel to Joseph, the angel to Elizabeth, the angel to Mary, the angel to the shepherds. And later on, these wise men, now an angel didn't send them, but they were warned in a dream. Man, I tell you what, let's turn to Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, we switched from his birth to his death, didn't we? Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning. I don't know about y'all, but I've been really close to lightning. That's why my hair stands up today. And his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Remember, what are angels? Angels are messengers of God. They're heralds who tell news and give instruction. I mean, fear not's an instruction, isn't it? And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, for he is risen. If an angel is just a messenger of God, and our job is not to worship angels, but believe their message, and to heed the message, and Jesus Christ is not in the grave, for he is risen, it is our job to not only believe what they say, but worship the one who wrote the message, sent the message, not the messenger. Right? That's why we don't worship preachers. That's why we don't worship angels, because we're not worthy to be worshipped. But the one who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we talked about that last week in Romans 8. By the Spirit, that same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead is going to raise us up at the last day incorruptible. And you know what? We'll be at a place where we're able to do just like the angels are. We're going to behold his face in the very throne room of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So let's not worship angels. Let's remember that their messages instill fear a lot of times, and it might trouble us, but let's heed their message and hark to the angels and what the angels say. but not just what the angel said, what God said in His Word. Because that is a message, is it not? Doors of the church are open for reception of members. Should any have the great desire to follow the Lord in obedience by way of baptism, the Lord bless you this week to read more, study more, understand more, rejoice more in the power of our King. May God bless you.